Because I'm too lazy to actually keep notes, I'm just going to record all of this.
Play it back later.
An audio recording?
That's will be one of our first
things. I'm always too lazy to listen to the audio recording later on.
Yeah, I'm lazy too, but I'm not, but you know, sometimes I need to know what happened during the last meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is an issue for this meeting because we don't have a secretary.
My name is Cole. I saw your community coordinator.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty new to the state.
Oh, okay.
The only reason why you'd show up in a board meeting.
Yeah.
I'm Ted.
You may have misread it. B-O-R-E-D.
Yeah. Kane.
Yeah.
I saw your dad.
You have to understand that in New Hampshire, you're new to the state until you've been here for at least three generations.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Just because you've lived here, you know, 25, 30 years doesn't make you a native, you know. Just because a cat has kittens in the oven doesn't make them muffins.
Oh, my.
You don't like that,
Did
huh?
you buy that at the museum, or?
Well, that's
we're at the general store.
At the Stoa. S-T-O-A-H, the Stoa.
I am.
So where have you come from?
Cincinnati, actually.
Oh, cool.
So,
we have more.
That's a bit of a drive.
Do we have any more people coming? I'm going to get another table.
No, this should be the grand
total. Well, you know, that dog Sean here with a freaking 48-inch screen laptop.
I'm sorry, but work page by
me. One more.
Okay.
Another one of these guys with the obnoxious MacBook, so why don't we get another table?
Yeah.
I didn't see it in the closet,
so I don't know. You need to look up the definition of laptop.
Well, you know, you're a big boy, you got a big lap, I guess.
What is it? As I saw definitions once in some computer glossary, you know, a humorous glossary that was laptop or desktop was defined as smaller and lighter than your average refrigerator. Laptop was defined as smaller and lighter than your average secretary. And portable was defined as neither chained to a wall nor attached to an alarm system.
Oh, okay. How are we going to do this?
Maybe we can all send off the...
Okay.
I'll
stay in Manchester.
Yeah, I'm living in Manchester. When you asked where I was coming from earlier, I was...
Hey. You know what? What's the question you're making?
The antenna and Apple's antennas aren't that great.
I have a weak signal. No, I'm connecting and disconnecting.
The first issue before we jump into all the formal kind of stuff, we had talked about the fact that the secretary isn't here to take notes. Ben's been kind enough to volunteer to turn on his audio recording. Was to talk generally about issues with our secretary. We've had some problems, and we don't want to do anything too rash this time, since Bill isn't here to defend himself, and I want him to have equal time. But we've had some problems in getting our minutes out. We haven't had any yet. I think Bill was over-volunteered more than anything else. He runs the Python group. He's the second banana for the Central Web group and occasionally other things. And he runs Software Freedom Day and does the Pillsbury Library thing. And he's got his hand in way too many things. Mm. And we had offered about 2 weeks ago when we were trying to get things together to the meeting. We said, Bill, is there anything we can do to help you get the meeting minutes together? Bill's hopefully no response was no. Doesn't that sound like Bill?
Busy, that's
getting ready when they're
ready. He is. When I announced that I'd like to hold this meeting, Bill was got by Python rules. His meeting, his mail filter logic rules were a little bit off. Things that are addressed to Ben's laptop in a special folder. And that's an interesting thought, isn't it? But, so he did not see the meeting announcements, and I pretty much said, as soon as we get four people, it's a quorum, we're going to hold a board meeting, because I just want to hold a board meeting, and let's get over with, and this is the holiday season, and the chances of getting people together again is darn near impossible. Well, Bill didn't even get to see the announcement until we had already formed a quorum, and he is having one of those very rare out-of-state days today and cannot possibly be here.
Yeah, apparently he's actually taking a vacation.
We're all in North Carolina. It's a long way to commute from the border. So that can
say I thought we had firmly told him that vacations were
out of the question.
Exactly.
Bill was pretty disturbed about this. He's put in a position where he hasn't gotten the meeting notes to us from the May meeting or from the August meeting, and can't be here to take notes. And he argued, in effect, that having a meeting without having the secretary there to record notes is just not feasible, and that you can't have a meeting without him. That's where I kind of felt we sort of stepped over a line.
Didn't hear that, but I would point out that, well, how would we tell the difference?
I think the board should feel free to have a meeting without me or without any of the officers. That none of us are disposable. We have roles, and someone needs to fill those roles during the meeting. Indispensable. What did I say?
Disposable. None of us are disposable either.
Okay,
but
same concept. That really rubbed me the wrong way. I think we can have a secretary pro tem to take some notes, and we can continue proceeding along, and I will engage in some more dialogue with Bill to try to figure out if we can offload some of the minutes from him, or if he'd prefer someone else act in the role of secretary. If we could keep Bill on the board, I'd really like that. I appreciate his contributions.
If he wants to be the treasurer, he's welcome to
it. Well, no, I hear you enjoy banks.
Well,
yeah,
in all seriousness, yeah. It's like, I can try to grab the notes, because I can do that at 2 in the morning, which is when I have free time, you know?
Yep.
But banks insist on being closed then.
And Bill is one of these guys, because of his particular career, is often on the road and probably could go by a bank during banking hours, but for you being locked up inside like a 9-to-5 job, that's more of an inconvenience.
I don't particularly, you know, they insist that, you know, well, if we have trouble, it's going to be while we're at work.
As I say, I really don't want to offend Bill. I really would like him to be part of the board.
Anybody offended, I'm good at that.
Yes, he mentions you specifically when he talks about being offended. So, well, you're doing a fine job there. And
need anybody to be offensive.
None of us take it too personally one way or the other. But Bill, especially it seems in the last few months, has had few too many things going on at the same time, and I would like to address that. At the same time, from Bill McGonigal, I have gotten a lot of questions about, what are you guys doing? You know, we haven't heard outside of the board anything that's going on since December, because we really haven't discussed it that much. We were kind of expecting the meeting minutes to be published and they'd be on the wiki, and Bill gives us the view from outside that says nobody in the leg has any idea what the board is doing.
Oh,
we really
I mean, not that the minutes on the list would be useful, but I mean, more than what's already been discussed on .org isn't too much terribly more than what's happened in the board meeting.
And that's the fallacy is that the board has any idea what's going on.
Well, I think that's fine just to let everyone know we held a board meeting, we are making some progress, we have a New Hampshire number, we've resolved to get a bank account number. Just a short set of notes is all we really need to put out there, just so everyone knows that we are here, we are meeting, we are making progress, and it's, you know, pushing Jell-O uphill. It's a little slow, but we're kind of making our way there. And but I think it was good to hear a voice from the outside saying, silence, I don't know what you're doing. Oh, we didn't realize that, because we sat around for 2 hours at a board meeting and beat the subject to death.
Yeah.
So we don't want to talk about it anymore, and so no one else is hearing that. That's a concern. I think we
that's the only reason when we've had bank discussions I've said we need 2 signatures is because every time it comes up that people outside of the board seem to have this almost somewhat suspicious feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if people are going to feel that way,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have a bank account in the group's name, the only way to assuage, since we already know people feel that way.
Yeah. It's really important that we maintain a high profile and are as transparent as possible about what we're doing, because there's nothing exciting really going on here. This is pretty boring, crossing the T's, dotting the I's kind of process at this point. At some point, we may have some opportunities to make some money, and it's important that everyone feel that they can trust us at that point to do things the right way. So Mention that, and I will mention in the log meetings that I'm attending over the next couple months that we did have a board meeting, what went on at the board meetings that people knew about. And I'll also post some informal minutes after this meeting. The formal minutes are official corporate documents that are signed by the president and entered into our official book of records. And we do need to cross our T's and dot our I's and get those correct. But I think we need to be thinking about getting a little more communication out there too. Because really, nothing exciting is going on. But it's important that we let people know what is actually happening.
And for that matter, it's important to realize that the more open we are in what we're doing, the more likely we are to have people who are willing to do it.
Yeah.
People don't get involved in something they don't know exists.
Hal Coleman actually found that there was a meeting and decided to show up. It's amazing.
Despite our best efforts, somebody actually heard of us.
Mike and Sean did that at the meeting when we needed to fill the last two slots on the board, which was pretty amazing.
It's a good thing they showed up, otherwise a hat rack would be on the
It was like, we have two empty board positions. There are two people here at the meeting that are currently on the board. Congratulate the two board members.
Quickly lock the doors.
Like I said, how do you think that became president of the Southern Connecticut Mr. Fusebrook? We were sitting around in a room and somebody said, somebody has to be president for the paperwork that we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else said, I elect Sean. And somebody else said, I second. And they went, all right, whatever.
You said no, everybody else said yes, and we're overruled.
Yeah, I've been elected in absentia before.
Missed
just one meeting, and all of a sudden we find out you're in charge of the business association.
It's pretty much everybody else decided they didn't want to be at least listed as head cheese, even if they weren't going to be head cheese, and decided that I could do that.
Okay, the president's assignment from the last meeting was to produce for everyone a copy of the bylaws of the Presidential Linux User Group, and this is what we provided. Sorry, I didn't make an extra spot there, but you can download them off the.
Okay. Is it the same one that's entitled Proposed Bylaws?
Yes, it
okay.
is. And we should probably rubber stamp that as the official submitted to the state of New Hampshire.
That's what I was going to say. This is what was submitted to make GNH Log a New Hampshire nonprofit.
Yeah. There were two other forms that were also submitted. Well, there's a NP1, the nonprofit form one for the state, which is filled out, where we've filled out just about every box that says in accordance with the bylaws attached, which is this. I will get a copy of that as well. We have, I wasn't able to come up with the original copy of that. I will make copies for you. I won't post that on the wiki because it has all of our signatures and addresses on there, which would be really convenient if someone wanted to manufacture checks with all of the names on the bottom.
I so think we that flatten that out.
Redacting is a little trickier than it looks. I love the Department of Defense top secret documents that were redacted by painting a black box on top of the text that was still underneath it.
Yes.
I don't know if my redacting tool is well enough to do that carefully. What I can do is post the rest of the document and just not the signature page.
I've got the 2004 nonprofit report and the NP1.
I'm sorry?
I do happen to have copies of the 2005 report and the NP1 that was originally filed.
Yeah. My question is that anything that anybody would want to see for any reason?
I don't think there's anything especially interesting in there.
The main reason they're posted on the website is so that we don't forget about them again.
We did that.
Makes sense.
You've heard that story.
Yeah, because the reason, this is one of the reasons I asked which bylaws these were, because these are the bylaws that we put into effect after we rediscovered that we were already incorporated.
I think that, one nice thing that we could do is provide other Linux user groups with a detail of, this is what we had to do, granted we're in New Hampshire and there'll be another state, but these are the steps you generally have to go through.
And to be a really nice
exactly. And, that would be nice for us to have, too.
Mm-hmm. There's probably already one out there, because I looked briefly at for information on how to find, a how to be a nonprofit, and you get the information overload problem that there are 7 billion websites devoted to guiding people through this process.
There's a nonprofit in Concord, New Hampshire, the New Hampshire Nonprofit Association, which is a nonprofit, 501c3, whose job it is to counsel people on being nonprofits. They have lawyers who advertise on their site. They have financial planners. They have a lot of process.
I've also heard of an organization which has 501c3 and they allow organizations to join with them to take advantage of their 501c3 status, so that you don't have to go through all the stuff about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You're shaking your head, so you must be aware of this.
I have heard of those phrases being used. I know at one point, Bruce Dawson and Carol Sewell had offered their Learning Networks Foundation, which is a 501c3, I think they do some of their computer and consulting businesses, as an umbrella organization for the organization, but none of us could exactly find any citations anywhere that allows this kind of an umbrella concept. That we're not really sure how legitimate that is. Certainly, if an opportunity came up tomorrow where we needed someone to handle some money for us, we could arrange with someone like Learning Networks Foundation to be the money launderer. I didn't say that. Erase that.
The sponsor.
Ed Lawson. Co-sponsor or some other organization.
Ed Lawson was the one who was actually talking about that, and he's more in a position to know about this than any of us. But he basically said, I think this can be done. In fact, I'm pretty sure it can be done, but I don't know the details, and I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did say flat out, I don't know when I get back to you. It may not be in this calendar year, so don't hold your breath.
We pretty much stepped aside for the year. Ed has been pushing for some formal organization here for as long as there has been a GNH lug, and I've had some conversations with him offline. He's pushed me in the correct direction a couple times and pretty much said that he's tired of discussing this, which I can sympathize with. I have also contacted a number of other nonprofit organizations to say, how did you do this? Python Software Foundation, for example, is a 501c3. Somebody's wife was a lawyer. Problem solved. You know, they just, here, honey, do this paperwork for me. A number of user groups, Sean's provided some good paperwork from the Southern Connecticut group, and that was posted to the org list, if I recall correctly. I have a friend in the Milwaukee organization, which is also a 501c3, and we're following the right steps. You're right that, you know, someplace like, say, Linux International might be a great place to post a how-to on, you know, how a bunch of beer drinkers becomes a nonprofit Linux user group.
You notice how we stopped typing and parked up too, right?
It's a good thing he wasn't writing, otherwise the pencil would have snapped.
Yeah, but, you know, potentially there would be some good places to host that. I think we're working our way through a good how-to at this point. We've got ourselves registered with the state, that's step one. We form a financial base, that's step two, which is we'll get the report from the treasurer as the next bullet item
on
the agenda here. We then establish a budget committee, which will consist of the treasurer and whoever else he's smart enough to cook, and they'll create a budget. Yeah, exactly. We'll create a budget, and with that budget, we'll be able to fill out the forms for the IRS to say, we are a nonprofit. This is our intended 3-year or 5-year budget plan, and this is why we maintain that we are a 501c3 charitable organization. And in anywhere from 2 weeks to a year and a half, they'll get back to us with a form that says, fine, we'll put you in as a probationary status, and you operate for a year or two, and then you get a confirmation letter that says some human has actually reviewed your application and agrees you are a charitable nonprofit, and you are now granted a permanent 501c3 status.
Yeah, well, first you've got to say you're not going to make any money, and then after a couple of years, they check and make sure you haven't made any money.
And it's kind of interesting how that works, because you really don't have to file unless there's over $5,000 involved. There's rules and regulations which we'll register, but really, unless we find a windfall or come up across some opportunity to actually make some money, we may never file too much in the way of paperwork other than informational.
Well, it's important that you don't have to file, my understanding, which is limited, is that you don't have to file the paperwork that says, you know, we had income, unless you go over some number, I believe it's 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to claim that you are a 501c3 and therefore deductions made to you are tax deductible for the other people, which is important if you want to encourage donations, mm-hmm. or can be, then you have to file the paperwork even if your net income is zero. So, or your gross income is zero for that matter. So that's why you may want to do it anyway. That's my understanding. So, now that being said, we have yet to really find, we have yet to have a compelling a situation where the tax deductibility of donation was in any way an obstacle, but if we wait until it is an obstacle, it's too late. So,
I think we need to have the infrastructure in place first, and that's kind of our intent. We may find that some nice organization like HP has stuff they want to just get rid of, or you know, the OLPC has a promotion that they'd like to do with nonprofits or something. And so once we have the infrastructure in place, we may have some things. One of the things I looked at was
the reason there's a Microvax 3000 in my basement.
Yeah,
because the local lawyers contributed to SCOSUD so they could write it off, and we played with it. There's no BSD running on it.
Yes. Oh, you didn't just need a heater.
Yeah. The one laptop per child program has the buy one, give one program coming up. Mine, and it would be really cool to sell $5 raffle tickets to every member of the LOG to win an OLPC. You know, that could be a really easy thing, but to do that, you have to be a nonprofit. Raffles, oh boy, there's an entire set of state regulations on how to run raffles and lotteries and forms. So that's not something we can really jump on that time, but that's an example of an opportunity that would come up like that, and we really would have to be.
I don't think you actually need, do you need 501c status to pull the raffle?
No, but it's a lot easier if you do.
Well,
I mean, if you're an established charity, then you kind of, you've got the gold pass.
The point is that either way, there's a lot of paperwork involved.
No, every local youth soccer group that raffles off.
Well, what I was just saying is, either way, there's a lot of paperwork involved to become a charity.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Absolutely.
But usually the youth soccer groups that raffle things off are sponsored by an organization like a church or something like that, but they may be hiding their raffle underneath of their 501c3.
Well, it's an umbrella operation. That's right.
I think we should form a commercial business called Nonprofit Incorporated that's actually a for-profit organization to manage nonprofits.
Just have somebody on our board of directors with the name of Null, and it'll never show up anywhere.
No. The name of the person on the board of directors has to be, you know, Fred Smith, quote, parentheses, semicolon, drop table.
Welcome, Bill.
Bill, just so you know, because... I've got jumper cables. Because I wanted to have a record that I could check, I've got a voice recorder running. So if you do say anything, it's going to be recorded.
Simply, I'm never going to get it off.
Well, I can get it off of there. I just can't re-encode it to an MP3. But I'm starting to suspect that's just because Lame is hideously broken on Fedora 6 and always has been. Because I haven't been able to get it to do anything other than, you know, it generates an MP3 of compressed noise. I can play the WAV files all day long. I can re-encode them with FLAC and they still play. If I try and encode anything with LAME, I get noise. So,
can we try playing it faster or slower?
It's pretty even noise.
Okay. Hey, backwards it says power's dead. No, wait. That was something else. But, Fedora, that you mentioned, is the reason why I think Heather's had to send her regrets. Fedora 8 release candidate 3 went out on Thursday. They're really hoping to declare gold code so they can have a weekend. So I don't think anybody gets to go home until...
even more important to Red Hat is that their first service pack, or whatever they're calling it these days, for Red Hat 5 is coming out.
Five update one.
Any day now.
So it's an exciting time down at the Red Hat offices, and I'm glad we're not there. So it's yet an agenda. We've kind of made our announcements. You're sort of note-taking.
I'm sure you covered this already. About 134. Oh, those are three.
Yeah, we'll cover it. Librarians know we're allowed to just... we're good. They'll just lock us out of being in the library. If you didn't see in the restroom zone, it was out of this wall and on our side of the lock, luckily.
I have no idea if this is completely inappropriate or nonsensical from a legal standpoint, but can we keep adding more board members if we want Bill to be a part of the board?
Well, if you read the bylaws that I just gave you,
you just gave them to me.
What's that?
There is a limit.
We're at
there's no minimum other than a quorum, but it's not stated that you need a minimum.
No, it's
of the quorum.
We really went for a minimal definition here, so we said 7.
Okay.
And seven with a quorum of five, which does lead to problems of three.
Four.
We'd handle that as necessary. I had invited Bill initially, but you were busy with like four different organizations and starting your own business and having a baby all that. Some lame excuse like that. So we got to hold these two because they actually had the foolishness to show up at a meeting. And poof, you're on the way. There may be openings, you know, sooner or later.
I only bring it up because I am, like you, afraid that, you know, that this group is perpetually in danger of becoming the Southern New Hampshire Linux users group instead of the Greater New Hampshire Linux users group.
Well, at least we're meeting halfway in between is really because Bill said, I don't want to drive all the way to Nashua, and you're right. If we're going to be the Greater New Hampshire group, we ought to at least hold some meetings where you can't throw a rock and hit Massachusetts. Next time we'll try for a White Mountains meeting.
See, that is actually why we became the Greater New Hampshire Linux group in the first place, is we wanted to embrace Northern Massachusetts.
New Hampshire, and Maine,
and Lowell, New York, and Canada.
Just because we're
there. I thought it was
just because we were greater than Massachusetts.
That should be the amount. I'll try to get another set of bylaws. Because things like how to replace officers and board of directors is something that is currently in the bylaws, and something that has been actually a very serious issue with the New England Anime Society, the sponsoring body for Anime Boston, because there have been issues with friendships and other things, and it's caused many edits to the bylaws around
We really wanted to try to avoid the book of bylaws if we could find a way around it, and on the advice of our attorney, it was pretty much trying, at least for the initial registration with the state, to write the minimum set of bylaws that were necessary. Now we can write a set of administrative rules that the board can agree to, and we can maintain them ourselves without having to send it to the Secretary of State every single time we dot an I across a T. And at, you know, one level down, kind of like the Constitution versus the laws passed by Congress, we can make some rules and establish them, and then, if necessary, change them when we have to. There is a requirement that if a member of the board is not serving, they can be let go by a majority of the board, I believe. So we can review that, and eventually we'll have a bylaws committee and try to make some more bylaws.
Yeah, I'm not terribly worried about it right now, but I have seen it firsthand be an issue in a local organization.
The trouble with the nonprofits that I'm on is so many meetings are wasted arguing about things procedural and things. So the more of it's codified, the more you can just say, that's covered in Section 32, Part 9. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get on with
it. If you don't like it, we can have a meeting about it some other time to change the bylaws.
That's right.
And you'll be in charge of the committee.
So you can leave that meeting.
So whether it's bylaws or rules, the more you get down, the more it's kind of greasing the skid, so you don't have to,
It also helps cover when there is a question, like, if so-and-so hasn't showed up and has fallen off the face of the earth for a year, how do we handle them not really being a part of this anymore?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool.
And again, it's not like you want to be a rules Nazi, but sometimes it does unfortunately help to just be like, well, we said this is the way it's done, so let's just do it by this, and then it's done, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Speaking of which, we have an agenda. And I have an agenda, not hidden, it's right here, so let's keep driving through it. We're following through the old business. This has kind of been the progress report of the president, well-known sort of fashion. It was in there somewhere. The progress report of the secretary, sadly, is missing. I discussed earlier in the meeting, Bill Sconce had to send his regrets. He's out of town. And not happy about missing the meeting, not surprisingly.
So he has some paper notes. Right.
He has paper notes. He has minutes from the last two meetings that he recorded, and he's just a little bit too busy to get everything to the level of perfection he's happy with. He'll sign off on official meeting notes that go into the official book of records. And I'm going to work with Bill to see if there's a way we can streamline that. I mentioned too that your concern that we had all these meetings, we talked ourselves to death and didn't want to talk about it anymore, so that no one outside of the group is heard of. Keep from us, and we will post some unofficial meeting notes to the group and talk it up with you two people.
Unless it's over my Discord, this WAV file will be on my website this when I get home. And I'm, you know, if we're probably going to end up booting some other distribution to encode the damn thing into a file that's smaller than 100 megabytes.
Some of us could do it on our Macs. So.
You're welcome to it. Anybody got a memory stick slot? Of course not. They don't have anything from Sony.
I have a Sony. I don't know how good the microphone is in there. Oh, okay. Record on this too.
Progress report from the treasurer. Your turn, Ben. I hate banks.
I'm lost, but I'm making good time. boldly going forward because we can't find reverse, whatever you want to call it.
Scotty.
Kirk here.
Yes, it was just...
All right, so we're gonna have dueling ringtones. Oh, no, it's on that thing. If we're going to have dueling ringtones, I'm going to break out the Star Wars anthem.
Thank you for being the third person in the world who doesn't say, what kind of bird is that?
I just thought it was appropriately timed after we made a Star Trek.
Yeah, there's only... Wow. Anyway...
You hate banks.
I hate banks. I continue to hate banks. My sob story of the day is that either I read the website wrong or the website was just incorrect because the ocean branch I showed up to at 9 a.m. today was not open on Saturdays. And of course, I went to that one rather than the Citizens that I checked out in advance. So I didn't go to a bank this morning. It was a Citizens branch across the street. That one was also closed on Saturdays. But one way or the other, I'm going to go to some banks this week because I do have some vacation time that I was taking anyway for other things, and the morning was free anyway, so I could go to a bank during their hours and get some more information, because originally the plan was we were going to go with a local credit union, and St. Mary's had a good rep. Supposedly, my experience with them has been horrible all the times I've dealt with them. They seem like they're willing to help, they're just unable to. So I'm thinking that's not a good organization to go with because, you know, we all know about good intentions.
If it's this hard to give them money, then giving money back would be much too difficult.
On the other hand, Lenox International for years had a very helpful bank down in Maryland that only wanted to charge us like $15 a month in fees, and when we went to a dormant period for like a year and a half, that was over $140. We just kept giving them for nothing. And then they still had our money, where they were getting interest off of it. So,
well, there's lots of banks that will take our money for nothing. We were operating under the apparently false assumption that going to a small local bank would be even better.
I think there's a lot of spugginess, and setting up a nonprofit is one of those oddball things that they don't do every day. So it's not like a kid coming in with this piggy bank. And it depends on which color you get that day.
But, yeah, I think that's probably a large portion.
I think we gave you a mixed set of directives, which was, first one very clearly was do it for free. Second one was we kind of like credit unions better than we like big commercial banks that ship all their programmers over to India, not to mention Bank of America. That we wanted one that had some banking facilities available throughout the state. So if we were able to hogtie Bill into being the next treasurer, he could go to some bank up in Hanover way and still be able to give some direction. So those were generally the guidelines. And then, you know, any two out of three of those that work optimally and just get the darn job done.
The requirements have been pretty consistent. They haven't really changed much. Bill did note that, you know, asking for a large presence and a small local feel may be somewhat contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
I did do a lot of checking on what's available where and that kind of thing. It seems like if we want something that's got a good, the best presence throughout all of the state of New Hampshire, including those parts that don't have electricity up north, Citizens is the only one. Even Toronto Domain Bank North, which is Canada, doesn't have banks up in the northern part of New Hampshire.
You just go to Toronto, right?
Yeah, apparently. And Citizens, and you know, we had a couple other people say, you know, I've used Citizens and they've been a fairly small kick in the head. So I'm going to go to Citizens and see what they wouldn't give me information over the phone. So I'm going to go to Citizens and see what they have to say, and I'm going to go to Ocean Bank because I called the number, you know, and they said press 1 for this, 2 for that, you know, I pressed 2 for that, and someone said, how can I help you, when I explained the situation, and they knew all the answers and didn't go, what's a nonprofit? So,
I don't remember why we changed but the New England Anime Society / Anime Boston started out with Citizens Bank. A year or two ago, they decided to change for various reasons.
Well, they're definitely trying to be a big corporate, unfeeling, hateful bank, but I don't think they've completely succeeded in turning themselves into the way
it's not in the
That was a bank we were dealing with tens of, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in from Anime Boston, so.
First of all, if you go in there and say, first thing, are you a big, unfeeling, hateful bank?
No, I do have tact, I just rarely choose to use it.
Saving it all up for some special occasion, Ari, yes.
If you have a particular horse, I mentioned I've been using them for a nonprofit, but I haven't had problems. Yeah. And so I don't know how to deal with how they are when there's a problem.
The only reason?
On the other hand, Heather, I guess, used to work in the banking industry, she said, sort of thought they were kind of rude, so.
Yeah. You said you know, Anime Boston deals with a lot of money once a year.
Yeah, you said you didn't know why you switched, though.
Yeah, I'd have to ask them. So I know they switched, but
it could have been your brother-in-law.
I'd appreciate
you know had a you know the other people opened up a branch across the street from the treasurer's house. You know,
we were if anything locationally worried about what was the closest thing to the Heinz Convention Center because. You know, a couple of times a weekend, we have to walk cash to a deposit.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
I've been part of parties to do that. On the log where somebody asked for a recommendation for a laptop, and everyone can come up with some horror story from some branch, no matter which one it is. But that's anecdotal and not necessarily systemic. If a citizen has decided they now want to charge for nonprofits or they have some, you know, evil policy we can't tolerate, that's different from, you know, I was insulted by a teller once. Okay, fine. You know, just deal with that.
I couldn't even get recommendations at the last board meeting. You know, it was like everybody said big banks suck, but when I asked for specific recommendations, everyone was like,
"Well, you know."
I've only been in the area for 3 years, so I didn't really know anything about any local banks. That's why I
feel free to get it done. I think the board is directing you. If the board will agree with me to get it done.
Well, it's been. I think
what's easiest for you is.
I was. Not as proactive, shall I say, in getting things done initially, so.
Particularly your volunteer pay, that's fine.
The thing is, the emphasis is on issue one, issue three. No charge, and relatively local to any part of the state, and I don't care if the biggest bank in the world. Just not the Microsoft Bank.
If you find something that meets those and are sort of semi-arbitrary, semi-not-arbitrary signing requirements, the signing requirements is like a bonus.
I'd like to bring that back up again because that was something that I heard the bump when that hit the org list was that we wanted to get dual signature checks and have a pool of officers, three of us currently, who would be authorized to sign against those. With the idea that, again, there was both transparencies and some sort of check and balance to doing that. Most of us live quite a distance from each other, particularly the officers, so kind of equidistant around the state. Except for Bill, nobody can get to his place.
Bill was the treasurer, and you need his signature on a check along with somebody else's. It's tough.
Over the river, through the snow, you know, fording the streams. I mean, it's a major
issue. It's a postal service. The only way to accomplish.
Yeah, and you would wonder if we're looking at spending $40 for a booth at Nearfest, that seems like an awful lot of exercise to go through. We are going to have a treasurer. The treasurer is going to be giving us reports at each meeting. We are going to have a checkbook bank statement that he will be providing at the meetings. There shouldn't be a lot of suspicion about what goes on. Should we run into an opportunity to run our own conference in the Heinz, where we're going to have 15,000 people paying us thousands of dollars apiece, at that point we may want to put in more checks and balances to just to keep the money from being misplaced, from incompetence as much as maliciousness. But I'm concerned that if the two-signature check is a showstopper and causing us a lot of problems, and they want us to pay for checks, maybe it's not that important.
Well, a two-signature check is a security feature.
Yeah.
So when you're doing security, you say, what are we defending against?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we have a case for anything to defend against that requires a security feature, but...
I'm with you to play devil's advocate. The idea, one of the objections was one, just general principles. Another was that this group historically has had a real problem with the left hand not even realizing there was a right hand, let alone what it was doing. And so that was another concern, that even with the best of intentions, someone may go and screw up because they forgot there was a group, or didn't know, or something.
And so we elected this person treasurer?
Well, yeah, we did, but that's because he'd take the job.
Again, we were incorporated for 5 years and didn't know it. And nobody was accusing Jerry of being incompetent. It's just, historically, this group has had that problem.
But I think it is different, though, when you're actually sitting down to write out a check. I mean, you're writing out a check.
We had to put 5 signatures on a piece of paper to incorporate the group.
I understand that. But that's also for the state to know that there's more than one person that's interested in that corporation. I mean, if you only have one person, that's a business, right? It's a privately owned business. And there's a reason for multiple signatures on an incorporation paper. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, there's plenty of people that have only one signature on a check. And I think, Bill, you mentioned that if it was $10,000 or over, that's the problem when you usually have a two-signature check.
Someone, but that's absolutely correct. Yeah.
And, you know, and quite frankly, even then, that type of a check is you know, the other question is, in this day of electronic everything, you know, you could have multiple people who could log on to the account and see all the checks that have been written and have cleared very easily. From anybody can do that. So you got 2 or 3 people with the password to the account that would be able to sit there and look at that and say, okay, you know, everything looks copacetic to me, but this is $50,000 for, you know, bras and cross-dressing and stuff. We're not all that. And the other thing is, I mean, you know, it's how much afterwards you're going to know.
Petro porn is okay.
When the guy, you know, when all of a sudden the person...
Hey, you got no room to talk.
When all of a sudden the person packs up their house and disappears, okay, you know, that's the time where, all right, maybe we should have had the 2 signatures on the check. But I don't think that, you know, people are going to flee New Hampshire and go to Mexico based on what we have in our checking account at this point.
Very good point. So what is their goals?
I have experienced the opposite side of it, having to have so much approval on just writing a check that it just becomes very painful.
I mean, physically getting the checks there, I mean, like, U.S. Mail, I mean, for all the fuck that everybody bitches that it costs 50 cents to mail a letter, does a fine job of getting a letter from here to there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not worried about that so much as just the bureaucracy.
More of a time function.
Yeah,
cost function.
Exactly.
Yeah. They can do a pretty good job of getting it there, but they have to mess up the address.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's lots of other things you could do. Like if you were at a show, you say you're paying for a table or something like that, someone pulls $9 out of the pocket, gets the receipt, submits it to the treasurer, they write a check for them to reimburse them, fine. But it's just as easy for the treasurer who's sitting there with the checkbook to be able to write that check, and if the second person isn't there.
All right, I formally move that we dispense with the even requesting 2 signature checks.
I second the motion. All in favor?
Should we have any more discussion or go right to a vote?
Any opposed?
Any more discussion?
Is it something that, I mean, you could always say apply for that feature later?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could switch banks if we wanted.
Yeah.
Then we actually have $10,000 to worry about. Yeah. Then we may put a padlock on the door. Right? Until then, might not have to worry.
Nothing is carved in stone. Even stone can be broken.
Yep. Anyone else?
Good question.
Questions? Discussion? We've had the motion put out, seconded. Vote all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
There were no names.
Sounds good. Unanimously accepted. Very good.
All right. So maybe just a little
bit. That's it. Let's go home. Yeah? Okay. So congratulations on plugging away at that, Ben. I appreciate your
determination.
Showing up to 3 or 4 closed banks still takes time. You're making progress.
It's
here.
Kind of like bill and send mail, you know? It's just some things were not meant to happen.
Yeah, it is worth pointing out, if you're going to be the treasurer and you don't feel like taking a vacation day every time you get to deal with analog banking, having banks open on a Saturday may be an important feature. So,
Once you get the account open, it's a lot easier. The major reason I still am with Bank of America instead of, you know, granted, the other reason is because I opened the bank at the Plastow Cooperative Trust 6 banks later, I've still got the same branch. the only reason I'm with them is because changing accounts is, you know, kind of like getting your eyes gouged out, yeah. So.
They're happy to let you sit in the waiting room for 30 minutes before they'll see you and have your money.
I'm on my third bank since I moved to New Hampshire 3 years ago, so I understand.
If you have traveling, that's the only one that you really have. Expect to be able to pull, you know, pull money out
of
deals.
Their
ATM presence is nice.
I only have a credit union, and you track the credit union free network, and surprisingly, it's actually, it requires a little extra effort, but you can get money out for free just about anywhere.
Yeah, I like my credit union. I love my ING account as well. I don't think we're going for online accounts right now, but I like them.
Well, actually, the DCU gives you, reimburses you up to $5 a month for using other people's ATMs.
Oh, that's a good
time. So we're getting off topic here. Yeah.
Moving right along.
Yes.
Do you have other items you'd like to report on?
The only other thing is, and this is more just something to start turning over and considering, it looks like probably to get the actual nonprofit status done is we're going to have to find somebody who knows this stuff and is willing to help us. And chances are they're not going to be willing to do it for free. They may be willing to do it for nonprofit.
However, Rob Lembry's wife is a lawyer, and she's also doing stuff for Franklin Pierce College, and they have a little group up in Concord that they actually help nonprofits, you know, get that type of tax status and stuff like that, as the students doing things for, you know, for the school. And I tried several times, but I failed simply because I didn't have the time to work with them. But it's possible that, you know, we could approach them and they could help some, you know, help us go through that process.
And that they do that for free?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This is stupid.
You have to pay, yes, internship. Yeah. You have to pay the fees, okay?
Right.
But everybody has to pay the fees.
Yeah, right.
The fees are small part.
Yeah, but if we pay the fees and we get the lawyer's advice for free, we're making a benefit. So that's a good thing.
Well, just speaking of which, do you need money to open the account? I think there's at least one of the banks you talk to. So
pretty much any bank will not give you a bank account with $0. Even if there's no minimum balance, you have to at least give them some money to start with. But initially, I'm willing to put $50 out of pocket or whatever it is in, and then hit everybody up with money at the next meeting.
Okay.
Because, you know, regardless of anything else, I trust you guys, because if I can't trust you guys, I'm screwed.
I will have our names and addresses, so you'll not be able to get far. Yeah.
I put same because I still live at the same place that was the last time I wrote down my address on a piece of paper.
Like, you'd be able to find that piece of paper.
Do you want another copy?
Would you approach Rob to approach his wife to talk to the group that
thank you for approaching Mad Dog to approach Rob.
Okay, well, yeah. We have homework assignments, and if we don't give it to somebody, we'll all agree it's a good idea, and we'll get back together in 3 months and continue to agree that it's a good idea. All right. Anything else from the treasurer? All right. Thank you. Keep going. I have on here old business, the Hostrader's Beer Fest discussion. I'm not really sure why it's here.
None.
This is cut and paste from the last one.
There was discussion about it to be had at the last meeting.
We used to have a booth at the local ham radio festival, huge, and gave away all our old junk, and then went around and bought new junk. It's kind of a recycling process. And
if I may be harassed. We're going to do it in the spring. There's a spring beer festival.
It's a spring beer fest. April.
It would be great to get started if we're going to do something significant, not the week before.
Yep.
So bringing it up now is not a bad idea if we're going
to
go back.
Not to be too much of a wet blanket, but two board meetings ago, we talked about it and pretty much decided that the board meeting we'd done. Then we talked it over again on the org list and decided on the org list that we were done. You know, I liked it too, but why do we keep beating this horse?
If anybody would like to volunteer to try to run an operation, we're always glad to take our volunteers. We beat it around and I think covered the discussion pretty thoroughly on the org list. And I'm not sure we were clear what our mission was. You know, Matt and Heather want to dump the other half of their cellar full of old junk that Matt has.
You can still do that.
Some of us would like to do some advocacy or set up a classroom with the folks at the Beer Fest and actually do some teaching.
Yeah, so Hostrader's has traditionally been the only outlet for vandalizing open source that we do.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably where the motivation is coming from.
Are they both amateur radio or?
Yeah, Hustrader is used to exist and it's done.
Yeah. So we all call it Hustraders because it went on that way for 25 years.
Okay.
So we know the people who are near
that system. Replaced Hustraders.
Okay.
It's like getting directions around here. You go down to where the old big red barn used to be before it burned down.
There's a couple of differences between the old Hustraders and the new Nearfest. And one of those is that, at least, particularly in the first one, I'm not so sure about as much about the second one, but in the first one, they were really focusing on the ham radio aspect, and there was almost a hostility towards the computer stuff coming in. And I think that loosened up a little bit at the last one. And, you know, but they don't seem to understand, or they don't seem to want to understand, that a lot of stuff being done with ham radio today is also linked in with telephony and you know, computers. So, you know, rather than try and beat that into them, I just kind of like retreated because they charge more for the tables, we get less space. It's a nice space, but you know, it's less space. And quite frankly, at the one that Ben and I was at, the first one, we had what, three or four people come past, and I mean, it just wasn't worth
our demo money. wasn't. We didn't have a demo. It was us sitting at a table with a banner behind us.
A couple of points, though. You were also in a building, as I recall. Mm-hmm. There were facilities. You could rent a space on the fairground floor. Was that more, or?
Actually, you don't rent space. What happens is you come in with your car, mm-hmm. and you park your car someplace on that, and basically you have that space around your car, okay? And that's with the car coming in. You buy that with your car coming in. Mm-hmm. So you pay so much per person coming in, and you pay so much for the car, mm-hmm. and then you have that. And that's pretty cheap. So for the people who simply want to sell stuff, and it's old stuff, they don't care if it gets wet or, you know, your dust gets kicked by horses, they can do that. But if you're going to show something good, like, you know, Ben's machine he brings, I mean, I'd hate to see that thing get wet or anything. You know, besides it'd be a huge electrical hazard. and you know, you need to do it, and now it's $50 a table for an 8-inch for 8-foot table, you know, and then you rent the table, so it's even more money than that.
Mm-hmm. It's also worth pointing out that one of the reasons I didn't mind paying Hostrators for that is because all the money was going to help injured children. Mm-hmm. Whereas these guys, I don't know whether they're for profit or just trying to keep the operation afloat, but that aspect ain't there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if either of you went to the last Nearfest, but the trade buildings, which are relatively far from the main entrance, had a significant number of tables sent. Mm-hmm. So they may have some rethinking, particularly for, you know, non-profit operations that are showing up versus, you know, for profits. Maybe they'll be able to do it.
I haven't been to any of the whatever the NC shows, but I mean, that type of thing for advocacy worked well for us in Connecticut. There's some more thing, Skywing Kogan used to run Kogan fairs. And I mean, all the Kogan fairs were anybody from any distance around buys a table to sell computer stuff.
Now we're talking about a generic computer fair.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically trade show. It's what these are precisely are all the local computer vendors, like that guy who lives up the street from you, buy a table or a couple tables, show up with their current stock of inventory and try to unload it for cheap. And there's a bunch of people looking to buy it for cheap.
That's exactly what the Kogan fairs were.
Now, the last time I was down to Showtown, which is a place down London there to be all dealt with sooner or later, and he's hosted a Software Freedom Day, I talked to him. I said, what would happen if we went up there and you bought the table and you gave us a couple of your nice high-end systems and we put Linux on them, you know, and you have the flyers there and stuff like that, would you like to co-host the table with us? So we get to show off Linux, he gets to show off some of his high-powered machines, we have, you know, he could have one person go up there with us, you know, we just hand out flyers so that if they're interested in buying these machines, you go down there. He said, that sounds interesting. So that is a proposal that we could get away with zero monetary investment, but just an investment in some time, investments in town, has some really hot machines to show off at the latest and greatest.
That will probably get volunteers to come out of the woodwork.
Well, I've done something like that, so I don't actually enjoy doing that since I've done it in the past.
And the advantage of that is the fact that everybody that goes to those shows is interested in computers, as opposed to box traders, right?
Yeah, you get a bunch of hams who already have a computer or have no interest.
Well, people like me just want to go up there and eat the sausages and french fries.
They had apple crisp at the last one. It was a cold fall day, and the apple crisp was awesome. I was thinking.
Yeah. You said they were within walking distance of your house?
Showtime computers, yeah.
Mad Dog, would you?
I live. If you go past it, you hang the second left, the second right, and the second right.
Okay, we don't need directions. But
yeah, but I'm saying that's how.
Since you already know the guy, would you introduce him to Sean? And Sean, would you be willing?
Sean already knows him.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's I wanted to know. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've met him.
All right.
I doubt he remembers me, but.
But the other thing is, I have to go to Showtime today anyway after I leave here. So I was just going to stop by there, pick up a couple of things, and go on the way. If I see him again today, I will.
I didn't want to ask you to do it because Kent asked you to do a lot of things. I didn't want this to be.
You know, I just tell them that we're interested. I mentioned Sean's name, and anybody can handle it.
Yeah, if we can get a commitment that he'd be interested in doing it, we can post that to the list and have more volunteers than we know what to do with it.
Where did you see this was?
It's in Hudson, New Hampshire.
The show.
Right across the
Nashua.
Oh, the store.
The store.
Where are the shows around different places?
Oh, NCT, yeah, they rotate. If you go to...
The biggest one's in Rockingham, New Hampshire.
Yeah. Like across from the mall kind of thing?
The horse track.
Yeah. And that would be a really good one to have. And the other thing is they advertise them far enough ahead so you could actually do some planning of them.
A big Christmas show. Kogan used to always do that. They did a it would be probably too soon to organize now, but they used to always do a big one at the Hartford Civic Center. It was always the biggest one.
This is a good time to plan those kind of things, because if we can hit up our friends at Red Hat and our friends at SUSE and our friends at Ubuntu and say we're going to have 500 people coming by our booth, send us some discs.
What distribution do you want to see on the screen?
Yeah, we get nice pre-printed discs that we can hand out, which have a lot more credibility for people than one that's been filled out with Magic Marker.
That's so easy to work out, because all you have to do is say, you go to Red Hat and say, you know, we've got this nice stack of Ubuntu disks.
I have done this before. Dave here had beautiful stacks of SUSE, Red Hat, and Ubuntu disks to give away.
I'm sure with Fedora 8 about to come out, having a stack of Fedora 7 disks, she'd love to get rid of.
This will work just fine.
I think we've still got some Turbo Linux CDs.
But if we could, the biggest thing for that is, ideally, 60 days notice in advance means that we can hit somebody up and they can UPS slow load us some disks. But the more time we have in advance, the better.
Yeah,
we have a lot of people in the group who will hear that there's something going on Saturday and be willing to jump, roll up their sleeves and contribute. They don't want to plan, they don't have committee meetings, they don't want to be tied down to something long term, but they'll show
right.
Can you volunteer to synchronize your lunch? Yes.
The next show is Saturday, November 17th at Rockingham Park.
Hey, all right, we got 2 weeks.
Not long enough.
Yeah.
No,
I'm also hoping people move that day. But
keep in mind that one of the in addition to coordinating everything else, we will want to get with the people providing the systems in advance so we can make sure the damn software works. Because nothing looks worse than sitting at a root prompt, typing furiously, wondering why the X server doesn't work.
Well, and it might be a place to show off some other stuff that'd be interesting, right? Like the Myth TV installations, stuff like that.
Open CDs.
Like everyone Skills Hug Install Fest. I built a machine just to show off stuff in Linux. I had like fun visualizers and XMMS and played music, and I got the XMAME X screensaver plugin working. Put a bunch of ROMs on it so it would run the demos of the games. All stuff that just like people were like, wow, that looks neat, regardless of what OS it ran on. And then it'd be like, oh yeah, this is a Linux box.
You're gonna have the OpenGL Spectrum Analyzer.
One thing that would be good is if we went up to Rockingham this coming November the 17th, just to look the thing over and see, you know, if somebody could go up there and take a look at it.
I've been to them before, what do you need to know?
Well, I've been there before too, but...
How many people are showing up now? Last I heard, was it NC shows or one of the others, somebody from Nashville.
KGP shut down.
somebody had reported one of the Rockingham shows was a couple people were selling Taiwanese no-name clones and a lot of empty tables. That they really felt that the show was underpopulated. That's what I had heard.
I think they've been largely replaced by the internet, unfortunately.
Well, I mean,
but I still got two spots left on my discount card. So.
Okay, well, if you'd like to go up and take a look at it, like I said, Saturday, November the 17th. I mean, it used to be 2 days at Rockingham, right, and stuff like that. So.
Stop recording here for a second.